Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Lovely Travels podcast. This week I'd like to welcome another international woman of mystery, Chantel Patton. She's very cheery, it's easy listening, easy on the ears, and she has a great sense of humour. Chantel travels a whole bunch and has started a business around travelling. Emma and Chantel talk about accents, travelling during Corona, and of course the effects it's having on travel in general. And Chantel tells us a little bit more about living and working as a digital nomad, along with the challenges and the benefits related to that. She travels with her family, got a few kids, and I think it's time to sit back, relax, grab a glass of wine, pull up a favourite chair and, of course, get this podcast cranking in your ears. So sit back and enjoy this chat to Chantel. Take it away, Emma.
Hello and welcome to the podcast today, Chantel.
Hey, so nice to have me here. Thanks so much for having me, Emma.
I love it. I'm so excited to chat with you. But first and foremost, I always ask the people the question, who are you, in your own words?
Well, in my own words, I'm a mother of three, a wife. I wear very many hats and I spin a lot of plates and I've gotten really good at it. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's who I am.
Yeah.
We're a traveling family. You know, we travel around the world and we just love having fun adventures. So that's who I am.
Oh, I love that. And so where are you from? We hear an accent. Where are you from? I mean, you probably think I have an accent, but where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Canada. And so I'm born and raised in the English speaking part of Canada. And my mom is from Quebec, which is the French speaking part. So at the age of 8, she forced me to learn one of the native languages because my dad is actually from Switzerland. So the Swiss German speaking part. Oh. So I grew up not being able to speak to either set of grandparents, you know,
oh, wow.
One set only spoke French, the other set only spoke Swiss German. And we grew up in an English speaking home. So there you go.
Yeah. So where did you go? Which did you choose?
I chose to learn French, which is good.
That makes sense in Canada because it's crazy. Like you buy a packet of hot chocolate and it's like on one side's the English and one side's the French.
Yes. Yeah.
Really so. A bilingual. I don't think people realize how bilingual that Canada is. We think probably more of it from other people in the world. You think of it first and foremost as an English speaking, but
And it is, I would say most of it, but I mean, certainly you go to the province of Quebec and it's very French, right? Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's good for you to make that distinction too. And also nobody should ever assume when you hear an accent from North America where people are from, because I know
every time people think we're American, we did live in Florida, granted, for, you know, a few years. So people, your accent changes, right? Depending on where you are. Now we're starting to sound a little bit Kiwi because, well, not really, but we catch ourselves saying words that we would never have said before.
And does it come out funny? Like, because it,
well, we say yeast. Sometimes we'll say yeast. And I'm like, that sounds Kiwi.
Yeast. That's right. Well, I'm Emma over there.
Emma.
Not Emma. Emma.
Yeah. Emma. I know. It's funny.
It is funny. Oh, good. Well, that was my next question. Where are you currently? Since you could be anywhere.
As we are recording right now, I am in one of the most beautiful areas of all New Zealand. It's Queenstown.
Oh.
And it's just gorgeous. I mean, I look outside, I see mountains and a lake, and I'm like, oh my gosh, where did I land? It's so pretty.
It's a postcard.
It is literally a postcard. Yes.
And it's honestly, it's on one of, this is a big call. It's on my top five. Like, I would live there.
top five.
Would you? And everyone I meet, it's so multicultural. It's part of the country that is the most multicultural. And everywhere I go and I meet people, I'm like, how did you end up here? And they're like, oh, we came, we loved it, we didn't go. And I'm like, oh, I can see how it just does that. It sucks you in, right?
Oh, yeah. It's this, the serenity and the, I guess the peace, but then it's also like it's got a lot of atmosphere and culture of its own. And yeah, it's so lovely getting the Maori culture there too. And they're so good at that in New Zealand, integrating the, you know, Indigenous people's culture.
100%. Yeah. You said it really well. They sure do. Yeah. It's nice.
And it's probably reminds you quite a bit of Canada with the lakes and mountains and natural landscapes is a real.
Absolutely. That and the people, to be honest, very similar in regards, like they're a little bit more, I don't know, maybe a little more quieter than the Americans and like just a little bit more reserved. And I feel like that's the same way that the Kiwis are here, you know? Yeah. So yeah, very, very similar. Our governments are similar, everything's similar. So it feels at home. And of course, we're in an English speaking country. So this kind of tops it, right? So we really feel home at home.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, we're like the States and then they're like Canada.
Yeah.
Australia is the big loud boisterous one that they're like, we're not them.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And
but so, when you travel, Emma, so you when know. You travel though, and you're in a different faraway land, like let's say you're in Europe and you meet people from New Zealand, all of a sudden New Zealand and Australia are like one, right? Whereas like when you're on this side of the world, you're like, we're really different, you know?
Yeah, we're arch rivals. Yeah. No, we love them. We love them. They're like our brothers and sisters. You know, we joke around about each other. But what's funny for me is that we always joked about the Kiwis. And then I went there when I was 16 and then they had all these jokes about us.
Yes.
We were like, what? No, we make fun of you. And they're very funny and very quick, very dry sense of humor. And they would just kind of ripping on us all the time. I was like, no, this isn't how it goes. But
that's hilarious.
We do really bond when we go overseas, but it's that same thing of we don't get as offended as they get, but still I was with someone and a Kiwi guy at a party and he thought I was American. And I was like, dude, I'm Australian.
No
we're in England. At a party and he's from New Zealand. And I was like, what? I do have a penchant for adopting accents. So I will probably start to roll my R's because I'm speaking to you. My cousin is from Illinois and he's hard of hearing. And I don't know, it's something I do with everyone, but with him, I just basically put on an accent because it's easier. And when I go there, you know, you say, can I have a glass of water? And they're like, what? And you say, oh, can I have a glass of water? And they're like, sure.
You did it really good.
It just is like, oh, let's just cut out the middleman. I'll just do your accent and we'll roll with it. But it is funny when you're away from home, how you interact differently. And
100%. Yeah. And you do take on accents and some people more than others. My daughter, she can pick up accents though from anywhere. It's just amazing. Like she'll just, you know, pick up an accent and she'll sound Indian or she'll sound Australian. She can sound like all these, you know, French, and it's just hilarious. I don't know how she does it.
Well, it's, I just think it's an ear and it's like learning music. I can't read music, but I can sing. And I only, you know, when I have to read, I was in choir and I found it really hard, but if I could hear the music and I heard if someone could sing it to me like this, I could do it. I could pick it up. But then without the music, I was like, oh, this is harder. So I don't know when if I'm with someone and I'm, you know, my family's English or my family's in the UK. So if I start talking to them, even on the phone, I think it's just a thing. And some people feel like sometimes you're mimicking, especially if it's another culture, like an Asian culture, but I think it's more about the intonation of accents. So like Malaysia and Singapore, they have this real intonation in the way that they speak and they say like, okay, la. And there's like a real pattern to the speech. And so if you're around only those people, you pick up that pattern. And so then you start to speak in that pattern.
And I think also you tend to want to fit in. Like for me, I don't ever want to be the outsider. I don't know if that just comes from like a self-esteem thing or, but I like to fit in everywhere I go. So I don't want to always be like that different person. So you just want to sound as much as you can like them. But obviously like with my accent, it doesn't always work. Right. But you just try as much as you can.
You've also had a kind of multilingual background and then, it's funny you said the Switzerland, my husband lived in Hong Kong, Singapore, Switzerland before he was 9 and went to international schools. So I'm sure your children will have the same thing of when you're around this, and they would have hung out with expats all the time. So when you're around this hybrid of accents all the time, your accent kind of becomes international. It's a neutral. And then because I think the education is often in the American, or at least people watch TV and the main accent tends to be American, then people are going to roll their R's and pick that up. So my husband has the same thing. If we go to America, there's words that start to come out and R's that start to come out. And I think people are just looking at us like, where are they? Like, where are these people from? Who are they?
Yeah.
Who are international. They?
That's so funny. No, it's so true.
And how amazing for your kids. So how long, I mean, look, we should go back a step. You have an amazing blog, and I guess, maybe it's blog. A business now, blog
thing. Yeah.
all the channels of growing up without borders. So,
yeah.
I mean, how long have you been doing that? And tell me.
Tell us a story. Okay. So this is what's interesting is we were traveling since 2013, technically. We set off on this 5-week trip, and basically it kind of evolved into something we weren't fully expecting it to evolve into. And we were at country like 80. We started counting because as you do, you're like, okay, we're, you know, at country 80, though we kept saying, like, how can we make this our business? You know, we keep traveling, we're not telling anybody, we're running our businesses, and we're kind of doing this like discreetly so that people don't think we're just off having fun and not taking care of like our traditional workload. And so the obvious thing would be start a blog, and we thought, well, everyone is a travel blogger, and we had no idea like how big YouTube was, or that there were other people putting their travels out there on YouTube and just literally filming what they're doing. And I thought, well, certainly we can do that, but it was a big decision. Like, are we going to do this and then go in this direction and let all of our clients potentially find out where we are and what we do? And it was always a big, like a bit of a concern.
Yes.
And still to this day, our clients don't know where we are. When they call us on the phone, we're using voice over IPs. They're calling a local number. So they don't necessarily know unless they, you know, come across your podcast or our YouTube channel or whatever. Then they'll be like, what? You guys are traveling, you know, but this is how it kind of evolved. And we started showcasing just what we're doing, what we're experiencing. And it's, it's becoming like a full-time thing, which is really exciting. So
that's amazing. So since 2013.
Yeah. And then we just decided to start documenting it in 2017. I wish we would have done it before because now we just have to go back to all those countries again. That's all good.
I know. I love that. You're like, oh, well, you know, I've only been there for a day, or I've only done this. Okay. Well, we just have to bring up the content again. Yeah. That's cool.
Yes.
I say, when we go, that's what we're doing our planning. Say, oh, we could bring this episode up. I said, oh, well, I'll go there in a couple of years anyway. So we'll just do that episode when I go.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
But the last 2 years, I guess, I've been a bit, you're like, don't even start. I mean, it's started this podcast during, you know, we started this podcast during the pandemic. So the blessing was, I think we actually had the time to start it. But, you know, for travel people, I think it's been an interesting time. So what have you done? I mean,
it's amazing. So, well, the great thing is we've still continued traveling because New Zealand was technically kind of, we escaped the pandemic for all these months. There was no COVID here, right? So we could essentially, we were traveling all throughout the country, discovering every single thing to see and do here, which is amazing. And now that borders have started to open up and people have been traveling and such, it's just changed everything in our perspective of travel. And we're kind of waiting to go back out into the big world again and prepping ourselves for what to come, you know, PCR tests, this, that, and if flights get canceled or this. I mean, it's a little bit stressful, especially with the new variant that came about and borders started shutting down again. We were like, no,
you know, the door was open.
Well, you would be feeling the same thing, right? So it's just, it's been like this for everybody, right? So
yeah, you know, but amazing, we're just happy that you were there. And of all the countries, like, New Zealand's not a huge country. It's like, you probably could have covered every square inch in 2 years. Like, you really know New Zealand now, right?
Oh, totally. I feel like we really, really know New Zealand. And it's just, what an opportunity we've had. You know, I count it as a blessing because it's just been unbelievable. Like, you know, to be able to be stuck here is just huge. So we're so happy.
I think there was a piece of that for like so many people, you know, when it first started, were like, are you okay? Are you surviving type thing? And I said, actually, you know, because of the nature of what I do, and I do always want to be exploring and I do want to be traveling, and there's always, it's like, why not type of thing. Sometimes it can be a little bit much. And if there's something going on in the world, I want to be there. And so when there was nothing happening, so it wasn't, I didn't have FOMO, because if it's me deciding to not travel, I would have this fear of missing out. And, oh, I've said no to this, I've said no to that. It was like, no one's allowed, no one's missing out, everyone's at home. And it was like this kind of nice pause to be at home 100%. And to enjoy even my local area, because I'd go overseas sometimes and tell people I live near the beach and da-da-da, I live in this like Australia's number one tourist destination. And then I just would think, and I'm like, God, I haven't even been to the beach lately, because when I'm home, I'm probably catching up on stuff. So you're not doing those nice things that people come to your home to enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly that for you. You probably had a nice break. I think for a lot of people, it was a nice break, to be honest, just to the change of pace and for everyone just to slow down a little bit. I mean, yeah, it was great for us. So I have no complaints for sure.
That's so good. Do you, in your travels, like, do you have this sort of thing of going back to Canada? Like, is that, would that still be your base? Like, do you still try and get back to visit family or whatever?
Yeah. So like our base right now is more so Europe, but yeah, we definitely, you know, have our whole families in Canada, and that's like essentially our roots. Right. But we haven't been for quite a while now. So, and hopefully we'll be able to go soon. We, you know, the family's lacking us, and that is one downside when you're full-time kind of traveling like that. You do miss all those special occasions, I guess you could say. Right. But yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of part of it. But yeah, we're so far away.
And yeah, I think there was always that thing of you could always just go back if you needed to. And that's been the challenge of these last 2 years, is that the world had become so small. And then now we realize that actually the world's pretty big, and the distances, even here in Australia, I mean, New Zealand doesn't really have the same situation, but we have the States, and the States have acted like countries almost. I'm in Queensland, and Queensland, New South Wales border, we drive over that like it's nothing. The border didn't mean anything, and now the border means something, and it will forever be this line, you know, where you remember there were police, there were roadblocks, there were, and you'd always see the sign, it said welcome to New South Wales, welcome to Queensland. It's like, oh, okay. But otherwise it was an imaginary line,
right?
But now it is very much, we realize we operate differently. And it was quite segregating this time. And so, and realizing that, yeah, even in this country, we have such a big country that even that distance, which used to be like getting on a plane is like getting on a bus to me. And now it's a super big deal. I'm going on a flight on Sunday, and it's like, it's emotional.
Yeah, no, true. And the same in Canada as well. I mean, we have our provinces there, and there's different rules and different, you know, mandates and such in different areas. And for example, right now, there's still a percentage of people in different provinces that are not vaccinated, and they cannot cross over into the other province. And I don't know if I haven't been there, so I don't know what it's like right now, if there is, you know, people being stopped or what have you, like they had in Australia. But yeah, there's a big difference, and you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, we didn't think about that. And I definitely saw the world as an open playing field, and we're going to be going to Europe in I hope in August for my cousin's wedding. And in a usual trip, I'd be planning, you know, Europe, you know, you're based there. It's so easy to get around to countries. We did a trip. The reason this podcast started was in 2019. I just wanted to prove a point of how close everything was. And we went to 5 countries in 3 days. But, you know, on the one day we were going through 3 countries. Like, we woke up in Lithuania and we ended up in Poland with lunch in Latvia, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, other way around, Estonia, Latvia. You know, we were all over the place. But the news just drives through, and I'm like, I don't know what that's going to look like in August. And so as much as I would love to visit new countries, and I very much have a mission to visit all the countries.
But, I saw that.
Yeah. So cool. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I just don't know. And then, as you said, you know, I'm going, I have actually booked 2 days after I booked, I'm going to America in the UK in April to visit family, predominantly to visit family. 2 days after I booked, the Omicron came out. I'm like, you're kidding me? Like,
yeah,
come on. I know. People, like, the borders are just open, da da da. And then they start shutting into the Sydney airport. And I'm just like, We'll just see. But I've been given a list by the travel advisor of each country. I have three requirements. So each time I have to do three forms or a test and a this and prove this. And then for the next place, I have to do all that again.
I know. And this is the whole, you could say it adds a whole nother level of stress, because let's just face it, like travel in itself, it's easy. It's, you know, pre-COVID and everything and super, you know, easy, right? No problem. You've got Google Maps, you've got Translate, you've got, you know, the currency exchange, you're good to go, bank machines, you know. But now you're like, okay, everything can change. You can board a flight with a, you know, PCR negative test. You can arrive and 4 days later, you're required, let's say, to do another test or prove this or prove that. And then everything can change and shift. And so it adds a whole new level of stress in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is our new reality. And how long is the new reality going to be like this? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? How long are we going to be doing this? This is my big question. Like, can anybody tell us this, you know?
And the relationships, you know, I guess it's countries' relationship to how comfortable they are. You know, some countries have just said it's okay. Other countries have said it's not. But depending where you're coming from, you know, like we have some countries that we've deemed as green or whatever, and then other countries that are red. So it's like you have to do that before you decide where to go. It's going to be a real logistics nightmare, really, and an admin. I'm like, I'm going to have somebody. I've just noticed since having my son, I just, you know, there's so much stuff in your head. You're a mother of three. I just need somebody to cross-check everything that I'm doing, because even this year, last year, I don't know if I was out of the habit or if it was just because there's so much going on. I felt like I kept booking things and then the dates were wrong, or like then, I don't know, the event would change and so then I have to change my car hire. Yes. And then one of them, I just flat out had the wrong dates in my head, and it was just, and then everything had to change. And then with a child, with children, you know, you're going to make, yeah, sure, you have a certain amount of certain accommodation. You do need vehicles that I wouldn't have otherwise used. And I don't really, I'm not comfortable getting in. I would have usually got a coach to my cousin's house, and I'm not comfortable. So I need to arrange someone to pick me up. There's you really have to think it out. And I think people who are going to be traveling next year really want to travel or have to have a really good reason.
Yeah. And people are still traveling. Like, we have friends who are still traveling, but I just literally received a text about an hour before our call. And it's somebody that's coming to go stay at our place, because we do a lot of home exchanges, and they come in and it's great and what have you. They didn't realize they needed a PCR test. They won't be able to board their plane, and they're panicking. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have easily told them, but I didn't realize that they didn't know.
Tell them, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, that's a family of four. That's four tickets. They won't reimburse. I'm sure of it.
No.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So anyhow, this, you know, how 9/11 changed security literally around the world. And I think COVID's just changed the way we travel. And I'm just, I've got my fingers crossed that it's not going to last too much longer, but who knows? What if it's like this forever? I don't know.
I think people thinking about their travel and, that slow travel is kind of a good thing, and being a bit more conscious of what you're doing and how you're traveling, and some of those places that were way overpopulated and way over visited. We might see a bit more of spread out of that, which would be nice.
Longer stays, longer travel, more kind of digital nomad spaces where people are taking extra long breaks, either to be able to work remotely and, you know, even online schooling. I mean, it's totally changing. I just discovered a brand new online program that has so many options at such a low cost. I can't wait to share it with the world. And they're based here in New Zealand. And they just opened up to the whole homeschool market. They've been selling only to schools. And what they've opened up is just a whole new way of people being able to do what we do without the worry of school. You know what I mean? Because that's a whole other thing. So people will be doing these longer stays, I'm sure. And, you know, it's just fantastic. So,
And so have you always homeschooled? Have the kids ever gone to school?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they've done a lot of different curriculums. So they did do public school and private school and then homeschool for a while. And now they're doing a combination between homeschool and an online school. So we just kind of keep mixing and matching and, you know, making it work. But yeah, so they've done both.
Oh, look, and what you're doing is so, I love it. It's so hopeful for me because now, you know, I have an 11-month-old and that's been my only sad thing is that we haven't had the chance to travel. I would have had him on a plane at 4 months or something. I'm so excited. And so many people when I was having him were like, oh, well, when you have a kid, you're not going to travel. And I'm just like, beautiful examples like you. It's like travel is such an amazing education itself. And I'm just like, that is such a limited view of the world. Like there's so many ways that you can make it work, even if it's only the 6 week holidays that we get, I can still travel with him. I just think it's the way, and you know, maybe it's not at the pace that I used to, but you know, we'll see. But I just love seeing families like yours who are showing that it is possible.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And to be honest, I think it's easier when they're younger than when they're a little bit older and maybe more integrated into schools and friends and stuff like that. Because when you're, well, I find it easier for the way we're doing it because we're always on the go. So they have mostly only known that. And so, for example, since we've been here in New Zealand, we actually stayed at one spot for quite a while and they really got immersed into the local community and friends. And they're giving me such a hard time even right now that we came down to Queenstown. They're like, we're missing our friends and this and that's going on. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is what it would traditionally be like for any other family trying to bring those kids out to go anywhere, right? Ooh. So I feel like the fact that we have been on the road so long, that's what they've known. Yeah. And they haven't really given us too much of resistance. So definitely when they're younger is probably an easier age than when they get older and they, you know, they want to stay with their friends or what have you. So.
And so you mentioned before digital nomads. So would you share about the businesses that you and your husband are, is it your own business or you have?
Yeah, it's both of us. So we started together back in 2001 and we kind of formulated, I guess you could say, everything that we did so that we could live remotely and travel. And we always had this like goal. We used to write down our goals every night and it was so cute and fun. And we should really probably go back to doing that. But we would just write down on a piece of paper our top five goals or top 10 goals. And then we would review them every once in a while. And the purpose of doing it on a daily was that the ones that were really predominantly, you know, there at the top all the time were ones that obviously we both kind of resonated with. And one of them was to be able to spend winters south. So coming from Canada, it's a cold country, like real cold, not just little cold, like traumatizing cold. We just wanted to get south. So we kept saying Florida, 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 you know, that was kind of in our head. And we wanted to get to Europe and like all these things. So anyway, yeah. Everything we did was formulated so that we could eventually be able to do that. So we would say no to certain things and yes to others that would kind of align with those goals. And so we started online businesses. We had, we still have an online wedding planner where we kind of promote wedding businesses to the local brides and different cities back home. And then we host and manage a lot of companies' websites and their domain names and things like that. And so we've been able to maintain that as we go. And now our new baby, Growing Up Without Borders, that's really kind of where we're pushing a lot of our efforts because this is what we love to do. This is like our full passion on travel. So this is kind of the direction we're moving into. So
it can be seen as challenging, but once you've run one, you understand the space. Really, you're just replicating it. And the world is so global now. In 2001, 2013, it was a bit different. But yeah, I mean, the digital nomad kind of term, I think that's probably only been around for like 5 years or so, but it's like there's others of us who've been doing it all that time. You're like, oh, you have a name for it? Oh, yeah, yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I work from Edith.
When the name came out, I'm like, oh, that's us. That's what we are, you know?
We're good. And sometimes depends on the client. Like sometimes you tell them, we're doing a one call and guy says, where are we today? And I was like, oh, I'm on a balcony in Hawaii. It's like, of course you are. And the girls I was with were like, oh, you really have to work. Da, da, da. Like you're on holiday. And I'm like, no, I'm on a 4-month trip. And if I go from the pool now, had a lovely time in the pool, all good. I don't need to be here for another 4 hours.
Yeah.
If I duck up and spend 3 hours on the balcony working, looking at the view, that pays for the next day. And that's how I always saw it. It's like, if I do these few hours here,
it's all
that
good.
Pays for the next thing.
That's right. I think that's the biggest misconception is that people just think that you're only always having fun but the thing is like, they'll be like, so how long are you, I don't know what the word would be, like, how long are you visiting or whatever? And we're like, well, it's like a long-term thing, you know, like, it's like you're saying, like, you're there and you're working and you're visiting and you're having fun, or, you know, how long are you on holidays? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of like a workation, right? So there's a perfect song for that. There's a song that the guy says, oh gosh, and I'm terrible at singing, especially after you said you sing. Oh gosh.
Well, I'm on a workation.
It's like, yes, do please. This every day. This is what I love to do. Or
yes.
I forget.
Yes.
Okay, I'll send it to you after, but it's such a great song. I'm going to put it in the show notes with everything else. I'll put that song, but I dance to it. Cause I'm like, well, it's like, it's what it's, I do. I love to do. Yeah, I'm on vacation. I'm whatever.
Like,
anyway.
You bought all of this. And like, you do realize I work. Like, I don't show you that I'm working all the time because it's pretty boring. And I actually wrote an article. I'll have to send it to you just out of interest about how I'm a freelancer and travel the world. And, you know, the woman was like, can I have a photo of you with your laptop? And then she actually ended up using like a stock image. And a few people who know me when I shared the article were like, that's not you. Because it's very like girl by the ocean with a coconut drink, with her laptop, the sun glaring on her face. And it's like, you know, the best you're going to get out of me is a selfie.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
When my husband and I actually were in Italy, and I was like, I need some posed photos with the computer to use for future articles, or me holding my laptop. So I do actually get those now. But it's like, no, when I'm working, I'm working. I don't go and sit by the water with my laptop with the sun glaring in my eyes. You know, some people do, but I would rather go to the pool and then go away and do a couple of hours and then come back and enjoy the pool.
It's not. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like you're not going to be sitting there at the pool. Mind you, I have done it, but it's not the ideal workspace. That's kind of like you're watching the kids so they don't drown, you know, and then you're getting a few things done, but that's about it.
Where the time zone was quite good because I did need to match up with a little bit of the Australian time. I would just wake up early, wake up at 6, and I was with my husband, and I just thought, from 6 till 10, you got to do whatever. You can sleep in, but we're most of the time in the same room, so you probably can hear me click-clacking and calling. Go out for a coffee, go for a walk. I don't care. But I just need that time. And I actually really enjoyed that 4 hours because I was on my own. I was focused. The time would go fast. And then I had the whole rest of the day to enjoy. And it's just a matter of being, I guess, disciplined and planning and learning as well. I used to sometimes try and do things on travel days. And I've realized when you're traveling, you think, oh, I've got an hour on a bus and I've got 2 hours in the airport and I've got 2 hours on the plane. It never works like that. It's like,
yeah, so you don't find yourself that's the mistake I do, is I do try to do sometimes that because I'm like, this is my only chance. I will,
I mean, a plane,
if you're moving around, and if
good.
I don't,
I like
then
some,
but
like
it's not ideal,
on a long
that's
plane.
For sure.
I miss the headspace you get into on a plane. Like, there's just something about literally being up in the air that expands your mind, and I just get so organized, you know, and this phone switched off so you can do whatever. But no, it's more like you get on the bus and then you want to look out the window for a minute.
Yes.
And you finally get your 100%. Computer out, and then you realize that it's not really got enough battery. And then you're trying to type and there's somebody next to you. And so you're like, okay, well, when I get into the airport, I'll do it. Then there's a really long security line. And then there's this and there's that. And then the window's actually 15 minutes. And then you're on the plane. And by the time you get up and down, you're like, okay, I was only on the plane for 40 minutes, really. And so that's where I'm like, okay, maybe if I get, you know, maybe it's more like sorting through the phone and tidying things and little quick wins as opposed to trying to do any solid. Yeah.
Get into that. Get into like a full on
working
mindset
out which
of
tasks
work.
Can be done when, but there are some pieces of work that need solid chunks and definitely meetings. You need to make, you know, you have to make sure you're in a place where you've got a decent connection and you're not going to be interrupted, and you know, it just makes it less stressful, really.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges as trying to run a business and be remote is you're sometimes it's that uncontrollable factor of having a good connection. And so what you think can be done can't, and it's probably,
outside of COVID,
probably one of the biggest frustrations that you face. Do you find like that's how
sometimes I even trying to find a plug or something like that, or just the quiet. I used to make phone calls and I'd realize that I was in more of a shared space and I had to wait till everybody was gone before I could make those calls, or I'm like trying to whisper on a phone call because the room next door or the acoustics, like it was one person I stayed with and I was like, oh, can I get up early? Cause I like doing that and making phone calls, but it was a share house. And she was like, no, cause the noise will, you know, everybody will hear. And I'm like, oh damn. So that's, you know, when that's in the consideration of like, yes, it's lovely to stay with people because it saves money, but I have no control over my environment. So as I've got older, I've kind of gone, what's more important, spending a bit of money or saving money.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because in, well, every country of course is different, but there's a lot of these co-working kind of destinations that you can go to now that have full on like kitchens that are available for shared space. And then they have the work environments where they're air conditioned with fast internet. Like they've really tailored them to the working class that need to kind of move around and such. They're not ideal for families necessarily because it's more the young crowd, but we have brought our kids to places like that and they've been a bit of a saving grace in the sense that you're not trying to, like, I remember in Bolivia once driving up a mountain so that we can go get work and a signal, and the same thing, we get there and literally the whole place had like one plug that they were plugging in their things with, and so we couldn't charge any of our laptops, which meant at that time too that for some reason my laptop battery must have been like shot or something, like I only had a small window to work, and it's like the panic of trying to get as much done because I knew as soon as we were done we had to go all the way back down the mountain.
You can really move when you have to.
But it is what it is, you know.
But that's funny you use that example, because I was just thinking before when we were saying
efficient stress, like, the whole thing.
I got back from a trip to Peru and Bolivia, and it was like the week later, and I think I was at home in Melbourne, and I was like, I had better internet in Bolivia at 4,000 meters than I had in like my house in Melbourne. No. Like Australia's network is it's getting better, but I've had people used to sometimes say, oh, India's not so good. I was like, I have been in cars with a USB or a little thing in India, and I've been able to work the whole time. And I said, I've been in my house and I'm having unstable connection in a very, very first world country because of the size of Australia and because of the lack of density of people, the network's not very good. So sometimes it's ironic. I can actually better overseas, and I get home and I'm like, you're kidding me? I
mean, have at least better connectivity, top,
but you know, FYI, if you come into Australia, you make
that's
sure the place
crazy.
Has. It's the first question now. Whenever you walk into a place, isn't it? What's the password? What's the Wi-Fi password?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And how many times have we forgot to check if there's Wi-Fi, because you just assume that there would be Wi-Fi. Mind you, now you can tether your phones, but there are still very many places here in New Zealand, the same like Australia, that do not have even a cell phone reception.
Yeah,
so you have to really make sure that wherever you're booking has that spot,
We have that downfall of, the connectivity and the connection lines. It's just not there yet. So that one.
Yeah. So Emma, for you though, what's it going
to
be like?
Maybe,
like
what are you up to now?
Because I know you have a goal, like we do, to visit every country in the world. But are you feeling?
Congrats!
We are. This is one country. This is country 100 for me. And yay! Like this is a big, huge one. So I'm like, oh, should I just stop at 100 and call it a day? You know. And our girls are at 98 and 99. So they're like, they're right behind us. Yeah. Well, and my husband's a little bit ahead of that. So we were like, man, like, you know, but in certain countries might be really getting more tricky. It's like, we've done it backwards. You know, everyone said, oh, you should do the hard countries first.
But
and then
the
easy ones.
I had the same thing.
Backwards.
I didn't set out to do this. It was just, I think I realized before I was 30, I realized I was getting to 50. I was getting close to 50. So I had 50 by the time I was 30. That was like kind of a fun goal, and I hit it. So then I was actually in Mongolia, which is a pretty big one to tick off because it is a bit tricky to get to and it's expense. Well, you can go there, but you really want, you kind of want to be guided. That is remote. That's a remote country. So we did spend a bit more money there, but it was actually a woman had sent a press release to my tour guide saying that she was going to be the first Black woman. And she did. She's the first Black woman to visit all 195 countries. And she was trying to visit Mongolia. She had like five to go at the time or something. It was crazy. In Mongolia was one of them. So she was trying to get support. And I was talking to her about influencers and like the benefits of hosting people like that and da da da. And then it just, I guess the seed was planted and I'm at 64. And it just seemed really achievable. And so I set the goal of by the time I was 50.
Nice.
So I'm 34 now. So I said by the time I'm 50, 195 countries. Yeah, but somebody else was like, why not 40? And I was like, we can make a stretch goal. And then
that gives you lots of time.
Like that was July 2019. And so I think 50 is a lot more realistic. But, you know, in terms of if you look at Europe, you could easily plan a two-month trip. And if you did your logistics right, you know, you've knocked off 40 countries, but countries like, continents like South America and Africa, it's just, you can't, they look like they're next to each other, but you literally just can't drive over the border.
Yeah. You just need a little bit longer. Like we did all of South America except for Venezuela. We didn't do, and then we did Central, but we took months, like a couple months each time. And I'm trying to think even like 4 months. And then we did 90 days or 100 days. We did only 10 countries, I think, in Africa. But yeah, like Africa's, it's massive. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just so big. Like you're saying, it's not, and you do want to see it. Like you don't want to just run through either. You want to take your time.
The difference between them and like Asia, you can do dotting around easily too, because it's cheaper. Europe, it's close, and also there's heaps of connections. But with like South America, like I wanted to go to Argentina from Peru, and I had 5 days, which that would have been fine. But the flight for that 5 days was $900, you know, and so.
Yeah, they're expensive. Well, what we would do is in that case as well, because we found the flights expensive. No, we're going with five of us, right? So it makes a big difference. So we would fly within the country to the very northern part of as much north as we could get, or south, wherever we were going. In this case was north. And then we would either cross over by foot or get a taxi. And then we would catch another flight in that country up again north. And that would move us at like a quarter of the cost if we were instead to fly across
they all do bus
the
and
different
stuff
countries. That's
so
how we did it.
Like
and it saved
a common
us.
Way. And I guess they just don't necessarily do that. They're not going with a traveler mindset. Like they live in the country that they live in and they might have a relation to the next country or have some business to do. But otherwise, they don't really haven't in the past had a need to go like that. And then in some
people
places,
don't travel like that.
You know, in Africa or whatever, again, they're next door neighbors, but they're not friendly. So sometimes getting over the border is, you really have to fly. I mean, even in Europe, we wanted to drive into Ukraine and we had a route planned. You can't drive in. You have to fly into the capital.
Oh gosh. Oh
yeah.
We spent 7 hours and it was like, it felt like the hottest day of the summer. We were going from the Ukraine into Poland.
Yeah.
And it was, we were stuck in between the two countries. So literally no man's land. Waiting 7 hours. I could not believe it. Like we had in our mind, oh, we're going to like pass through, you know, you count an hour, 2 hours max. No. Oh. And so you're with three kids. One of them, it was just bad. One of them was sick. It was so bad. And every single car, they were lifting up the, this is a few years back when there was like problems with Russia taking over, you know, part of Ukraine. So there was like lots of tension in Poland. They've got their guards up, you know. Anyway, so they were checking every hood of every car, banging on it with some kind of something, trying to hear for something. I don't know what they were doing, but taking suitcases apart, like really scrutinizing every single vehicle. I could not believe it. And thankfully they really treated us like tourists. So we didn't get really, we just kind of got the pass through, but every other car was getting like the full on, but just sitting there 7 hours that long without proper hydration. No. And bathrooms, that's, it is, and three kids, unbelievable. It was
going
just from unbelievable.
Mexico to Belize, awful. Even, yeah. Yeah. Again, they have a border, but like the driving over was so much more challenging. We ended up parking our car in Mexico, a rental car. So parking it, being like, you're going to keep the car safe and, you know, we're good here. And we looked up and seen other people had done it. And it was actually easier to get the ferry into Belize and then to come back and pick up the car than it was to drive into Belize. It just kind of was almost not possible, or the bureaucratic thing to get through. And so there's just things like that where you think, I'm just going to go duh, 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 and you can't. And so, yeah, as I say, like there's places like Europe and Southeast Asia where people go, oh, Emma, you just go knock off a few. And I'm like, yeah. I've actually, there's only like one or two that I've not done. And so it's kind of like, I still have to do that flight and jump around because I didn't have this plan. I just went where the things were or where my family was, or I know someone said something's happening. So I went. And then once you make this mission, you know, people who, if they set out with this mission, would have a lot easier time because they can plan logistics and kind of maximize. But gosh, yeah, you got to have the insight, and it's great to know people who are doing it. There's a little bit of a community, isn't there, of the country list.
There is, you know what, then I should really connect with more of them, of the people who've already, you know, done it. Like I'm friends with a few people on Instagram and such that have done it. So that's good. But yeah, like the logistics of it,
awesome,
and especially as a family,
that
like brings just a whole new level, right?
So yeah. That I'll go in the future where I would not take my son. We've agreed, you know, depending on my level of comfort of leaving him is and how long I want to go for, but it like might be easier for times for me to go for a couple of weeks, visit a few countries, and then they come and join me and have like a holiday in one place, as opposed to, I guess my husband's not in Europe. Okay. But I don't think he's as much on board for the kind of moving on all the time. So if we do a slower one, when we go for a couple months, then we can spend kind of maybe a week in each place, he would like it. But you know, my three countries in a day road trip, he's not on board.
Always
the way. And I made that very clear on that trip. I was like, this is not how I'm always going to travel, but I'm proving a point. It could be done. But we had 7 countries down for that. And we would have tried to do it, but because of Ukraine and like trying to do that loop around there, there's just, we read and looked around and tried to find loopholes. And it was like, really just don't. And now hearing you, I'm like, thank goodness, because it just would have been too stressful. Oh, I think it would be harder, but.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be better now, but yeah. Well, the other thing is like driving on the roads in the Ukraine, like, I don't know if they're different right now, but what Google Maps says is like 6 hours, and then it takes you like 12 and you're not even there yet. And when we came in, the guy was like, so we crossed from Moldova over, am I getting this correct? The guy said, thank you and good luck. And we both looked at each other and we're like, did he just say thank you and good luck? And when we were driving on the roads, we were like, oh my gosh, these roads are just insane. Like the potholes were so big that you had to drive off the road and back onto the road. And you couldn't go more than like 50 on what was supposed to be the national highway. I was just like, you have got to be kidding me. This is crazy. Oh, but when we arrived, it
and
was
the travel,
just like beautiful.
The getting we to
like,
and from, if you, you know, I guess
had we
you
known,
know, it's part of the adventure and it's part of the trip. And sometimes
it's part of the parts that make funny stories and that make you look back and appreciate things and, you know, and then realize what other people go through, you know. I mean, some parts you don't need to go experience it to realize what you have, but other times you do, and you do have a different appreciation and an understanding and maybe almost like a confusion. Like I would say I get confused about it because I'm sometimes like, why is the world so unfair for some people? Like who decides where you're born? Like, I don't know if that happens to everyone, but I often get stuck. And I'm like, that's just, it's just not fair. And it is what it is. And then, but you know, you can only do so much, but
no,
at the same time,
such a beautiful perspective.
Like it does affect you. You know what I mean? You don't think the same.
We are both from lucky countries, very fortunate countries. And
mm. Yeah. Like when people say like the saying privileged, I don't want to say it, like they say privileged white. Well, in a lot of countries, that's what you are. And you just,
yeah.
And just by being born in a certain place,
our government, you're privileged 100%. I couldn't, I was in Mexico. I was studying there and living there when swine flu happened. And also we had it was just after the GFC. And so our government gave us money. Like they gave incentive. And because I was under a certain pay bracket and studying, I got two payments. I got $1,800 from the government. And they just, in Mexico, they just couldn't even fathom that. They pay 50% tax and their roads still have holes in them. Their hospitals still can't cater to the public. They don't get that money. They don't get to see it. They pay it. They don't get it. They just couldn't comprehend. And it's that sort of thing. You're like, oh yeah, you know, and I go to the doctor, I don't pay. Like what, you know, I mean, even compared to the States, which is a first world country, like, you know, the healthcare, that is just, I just think, you know, and the people complain here, I'm just like, you got no, like you have no idea. You have no idea how fortunate we are and you take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
And so 100 countries, that is incredible. Yeah, no, I'm going to ask you 100%. The most horrible question for any traveler. What is your favorite? What has been your favorite? And then maybe what has been the family's favorite? Okay.
Favorites. Okay. I can't say one. So I'll say a few. All right. Okay. So Europe, I love Switzerland. I love Spain. I just love it. I just love most of Europe in general. Mm. Okay. All the cobblestone streets, but in general there. I love Mexico. I love the people in most Latino countries. I just love the people and the festivities. We really enjoyed our time in Nicaragua because it was so different and so unique. And it was during a bit of a political coup. So we had no tourists there. So we had a really unique experience.
I know. Different for different reasons, for different experiences. Yeah. And for that reason, some people could, you know, people could have gone, I was in Nicaragua and there was a coup, so I hated it. And it could be other, you know.
No, and it sometimes depends on who you meet and the experience you had there. You know, it could be just like that cool game of cards that you played that one night with people you met and you're like, that was just epic. You know, and it could have been you're doing the same thing in another country, but
and timing.
I don't know, just because you're both uniquely in a different place, and you know what I mean. Things like that.
Didn't enjoy as much, or I wouldn't rush back to. That's why I say it. Not hated or at least favorite, but one of the places I wouldn't rush back to was Denmark. But that was because I had just been on two of the best trips of my life, and I think then Denmark it just came after, and it just didn't wow me as much. Or maybe I had been to a number of European cities by that time, and so it was. You know, and although I was there with a friend and everything, and it was lovely, it just, I think it just didn't stand out as,
It could be true that the weather was
mood,
poor.
You don't have enough money.
The weather, like you know, all those things could have been a cold day, you know, whatever, right?
You'd hate it. Like, you need money in New York. Like, you got to be able to do stuff. So, what's a country that maybe you wouldn't rush back to?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I have a friend who you can connect with. She's just been living there.
Brunei.
She struggled. I got to visit her, which was amazing for me. But yeah, the jungle life was not cracked up to be.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was hard. Done. Next question. No. So where is, that's a big question. 100. And so for the kids, what's going to be there? Like, what would you love for their 90, for their 100? To be for the next couple of countries you'd like to see?
Whoa, okay. Maybe Egypt would be really cool, or maybe even like Jordan or Israel, or Georgia. Exotic. I don't know, any of those countries maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Uniquely different.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, exotic, different. I think so. That'd be cool.
You have to tell me when you go. India's, I've got a tattoo.
Could
on
be
my
India.
Arm
for we India. Haven't been to India
I've
yet.
I've been 11 times. I partner with a travel company. So, yeah, Pankaj will take care of you. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're going to have the best. India's one of
I'm
the
definitely
going
to be
people,
talking to you after this about
love
it.
I hate it. And I think it's that thing of, Yeah, there's really challenging stuff. But for me, it's that everything
I've heard that they love and
coming from a Western country is flipped on its head, like everything. And I love how foreign it is. And it gets under, like, it doesn't, you don't see India, you don't smell India, you don't,
I think we're gonna love
touch
it
India, you feel India, like it's under your skin. It gets you in all the senses. It's like, so the bit of a shock where people, I always give people like a brief, like a debrief,
before they go,
just to kind of be there with open eyes and things like that. But I just think there's so much more to it than the stereotype that we think of. And that's why I partnered with this company, because I like to create itineraries for people based on their interests and to kind of ease them into India. Like there's people who fly into Delhi and Mumbai, which are both amazing cities, but it's an affront. And it's like, no, you can go to those cities, but you got to go here and here and here and ease in and have this experience first and then sort of warm up. To that, or people fly straight to Varanasi, you know, which is basically a pilgrimage place, and it's the busiest place ever. And then you're seeing burning bodies, and you know, like rituals, and it's like really. And so I'm always like, let's put that further back in the itinerary when they've warmed up a little bit, and
good idea. I mean, when we were in Sri Lanka, we kept asking people like, so is it similar? And they're like, oh, no. They said Sri Lanka is kind of like putting your toes in the water. And then they said India is a whole new level of smell, noise, busyness, like everything. But they said like, this is just like a teeny little sample.
We're like, okay, that's good to know. You know, would be similar to parts of India. So it's like maybe again you start there and then work your way up, or it can just be order of things. Like we started in a city with my husband and then ended up in the more natural places, so it was like you end the trip. Whereas one time I went from Cambodia to Vietnam, and I would never advise that. I would advise Vietnam to Cambodia, because Vietnam is that more intense that different type of culture, whereas Cambodia is a bit more laid back, quiet. So it would be a better experience to go that way. So planning and logistics make a difference.
Well then there, so anyone listening to this podcast right now, take our advice, and I would say start with the harder countries and ease your way into the fun, happy, easy going ones, maybe, right? Like, because somebody told us to do that and we didn't, and now I'm feedback going, oh, that's smart, you know, we should have probably done that, right?
But maybe save some lighter ones for the end. Like, and I want to go to Antarctica. I don't even think it's on the list though, but that's my 40th. That's gonna be my 40th place. I want to go to Antarctica. So I'm saving it. It's nice to save when you're planning for places like that. So, I can't wait to hear where your kids, where they celebrate their 100th. And
yes, I'll let you know. We'll have to do another episode on which one it was, but it's going to be soon, you know, like as soon as we get moving. They've only got Julia's got one more to do, and the other two have two. So depending on which direction we go to,
thank you so much for giving insight into your world, then we'll be hitting that goal real soon.
So that's really cool.
Amazing lifestyle. And how can we connect with you? How can we follow this journey? What's the best way?
Oh, definitely follow us on growingupwithoutborders.com. There's a newsletter sign up. That's the best way to keep current with what we're doing. We send out newsletters to everyone to let them know. They're video newsletters, which is kind of cool as well. And then, of course, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, like the whole works, right?
So, following the journey, but maybe, bumping into you somewhere sometime. We'll have to play where in the world are we?
100%. Yes. I look forward to meeting you as
Thank
well.
Thank you so much today.
Sounds like a good plan. Thanks, Emma. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalog for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners, so please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts, everywhere where you get podcasts, you can find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.